Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Have you ever really thought about how much God loves you? Over the last 3 weeks, I've given that a whole lot of thought. My precious mother-in-law, Shirley Hawkins, passed away 3 weeks ago today on a Monday. As we planned the funeral that week and I reflected on my dear mother-in-law, I thought about how she was such an example of the goodness of God's love for us. 70 years married to the same man, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all blessings from God. She showed the hope of God to her family by the way she lived her life. I thought a lot that week about how God has such love for us from the womb to the tomb. And by the end of that week on Saturday, we had a celebration of life, a birthday bash for the women of our church. And our mission was Hope Women's Center, a pregnancy crisis center for Pickens County, South Carolina. And as we planned our event that Saturday, I realized it was a very different celebration of life than that of the celebration of life for my mother-in-law. We had a circle of 12 tables, each representing a month of birthdays. We were celebrating life, celebrating all that God had done in our lives and how much He loved us. The mission of the event was Hope Women's Center. Behind it was also a longing to see more babies have a chance at life that might not otherwise be able to be born. Through our event, we were showing our love for God, and we were showing our love for others. According to Jesus, those are the two most important things we can do. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." As we were completing our decorations, we had one pink and one blue balloon left. We were searching for the perfect spot to put them, and we were looking for something to tie them to so they wouldn't float to the top of the gym. It just so happened we had some baby high chairs along the wall of the gym. The space in the circle of the tables was very empty, so we moved it there just to give it some height. As we stepped away, the empty high chair in the middle of all those tables full of life spoke such volumes. Our longing was to see more babies filling those chairs that might not have another chance at life otherwise. You see, Jesus loves the little children. In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He loves us from the start. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them." As God was creating the earth and everything in it, after each thing he created, he said, "And God saw that it was good." If you pay close attention to the scriptures, you'll note that after he created man and woman, in verse 31, the Bible says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Oh, how very much he loves us. Psalm 8:5-8 says of God's creation of man, "You have made them a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Job 12:7-10 tells us that God has the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind in his hand. He's holding me and he's holding you. We had a remarkable day that day at our women's event. Lots of laughs, fun sister time, and gratitude to God. Our speaker was the executive director from Hope Women's Center, Glennon Britton. As one of the few pregnancy crisis centers in the upstate, Hope Women's Center is doing a remarkable work by preserving the sanctity of life in Pickens County and helping to fight abortion. You would have to live under a rock not to know. Abortion is one of the hot topics in the political race this year for presidency. On September 19th, Kamala Harris said, "One does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government, and certainly Donald Trump, should not be telling a woman what to do with her body." I am so thankful for Tony Dungy, the well-known author and head coach in the NFL for 13 seasons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Indianapolis Colts. He is a strong man of faith. He responded to Kamala in this post. "Dear Vice President Harris, I hear you make this statement all the time. Exactly what faith are you talking about when you say you don't have to abandon it to support abortion? Are you talking about the Christian faith that says all babies are made in the image of God? Genesis 1:26, that God places them in the womb, Jeremiah 1:5, and that we should not take any life unjustly, Luke 18:20. Are you talking about that faith or some rebellious general faith that says we're good enough and smart enough to make our own decisions? What faith are you talking about? Go, Tony Dungy. If we don't stand up for our faith, if we don't stand up for the least of these, are we really a Christian? Did you know there's actually a spark of light when life is conceived? According to U.S. News and World Report, a press release explains the science behind the phenomenon. As the zinc is released from the egg, it binds to small molecule probes, which emit light in fluorescent microscopy experiments. Thus, the rapid zinc release can be followed as a flash of light that appears as a spark. I can't help but be reminded of Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God is light, and we are each made in His image, and life is so precious. From the womb to the tomb, I have a precious little one-year-old granddaughter, Hadley Reed. As I looked into her face tonight, I couldn't even begin to imagine how someone could have thought she was just a clump of tissue inside her mother's womb. She is so full of life and made in the image of her Creator, God Almighty Himself. He doesn't make mistakes. And while my little Hadley is so dear and precious, she is no more deserving than any other baby to receive life. I can't imagine my life without her. Just like He made the world, He spoke us into existence. That's holy, and nothing that man should mess with. Surely the holiest intersections with mankind are the moment of conception, the moment of salvation through Jesus Christ, and the moment Jesus takes His saint home to heaven. Oh, how He loves you and me. Never doubt it. Jesus loves the little children, and one day we will stand accountable for what we've done or not done to defend them. Proverbs 24:10-12 says, "If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. If you say, 'But we knew nothing about this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done?" Christians have an obligation. According to CBN, 90 million Christians in America are eligible to vote, but as many as 40 million fail to vote in presidential election cycles, and 15 million are not even registered to vote, according to the My Faith Votes website. Every vote counts. We can make a difference in the lives of the unborn and in other values that God holds dear. Your vote matters. Mark 12:17 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.'" What is God's? What has the image of God on it? Well, you were created in His image. If you haven't registered to vote, I urge you to consider it this year. The in-person deadline is October 4th. By mail, it's October 7th. And online is October 6th. Please see the show notes for the address for online registration. C.S. Lewis once said, "Though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not." The example of my mother-in-law's life perfectly reflects how very much God loves each one of us and wants for us to have the good things of life while we're here. He never said it would be easy. And my sweet Shirley didn't have it easy as she fought cancer and had illness for many years. But her reward is great. And every day Jesus loved her and she loved Him. Every life is precious, fearfully and wonderfully made. As children of God, let's do all we can to protect the sanctity of life, to protect innocent babies created in the image of God. One of my favorite quotes comes from Christine Kane. "Life is short, the world is big, and God's love is too great to live ordinary." It's time to take a stand for what you believe. Live extraordinary for Jesus, without fear of what others will think. What really matters is what Jesus thinks, and Jesus loves the little children. Do you? Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.